Begin the current daf mesech. This Yuma daf nun gimel. Begin on the top line of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which and that Mishnah introduced this topic regarding the Keteris, which again we're in the second phase of the five phases of the five different begadim that the Kohen Gadol would wear on that day, which is again the structure of this mesechta, running through the first avodah which we went through already, the Tumah Shel Shachar with the Bigdei Zav. Now we're in the process of the second phase, which is wearing for the first time the Bigdei Lavan, which he immersed himself in the mikveh, and then he did the two viduyim on his par, and he did the lottery on the seller. He went to get the shovel full of coals, and he got the ladle with the keteris. He enters into the keteris. And that's where Gemara continues on the theme of how the process of the keteris was brought inside the Kachi Kachim once a year on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara brings the following b'raisa. Tarban learned the b'raisa. It says in the pasuk Miyikra, V'nosin es ha-keteris al ha'esh levnei Hashem, that the Kohen Gadol should place the keteris, the incense, on the fire, which is that shovel full of coals that he has, in front of Hashem, which that comes to teach us, shelo yisakin mibachutz v'yachnes. He should not prepare the keteris outside of the Kachi Kachim. There, and that means to say to take the keteris and put it on the shovel of the coals and have it already be smoking and then beyachdis and then come in. That's not what he should do. Rather, it should be as the pasuk is telling you, put it on the fire in front of Hashem, which means in the Kachi Kachim. This halacha the Bryce is teaching us is to come to exclude from the opinion of the tzedukim because they said yisakim avachutz v'yachnes. They said no. One does not do it inside. One actually prepares it outside and comes in with it already smoking into the Kachi Kachim. And therefore, that's what the Bryce is coming to teach us from this pasuk. That we see it's not like that. You have to prepare it inside. So the Gemara asks, my drush, what is this that the tzedukim had expounded? They didn't hold the Tereshav HaPeh, the Messiah of our Chachamim, how to interpret the Tereshav HaKsav. They learned literal pshat and what the psukim they felt meant. Which pasuk were they expounding that it made it sound like you have to prepare it outside, and only then, once it's already smoking, then you come in with it. So they expound the pasuk in Miyikra that says, Ki ba'anan eroa ala kapayis, because the pasuk says that with a cloud, Hashem is saying, I will be seen on top of the kapayis, on top of the Aron HaKadosh. Which that makes it sound like that one should not come in unless he has a cloud of smoke of the keteris. So malam, so the tzedukim learned that this comes to teach, she'isakin mibachutz v'yachnitz. You prepare it outside, then you have an onan already, the cloud is already smoking from the keteris that's burning on the coals, and then you could come in. That's what the tzedukim held, and that's what they did. So amalim chacham, the chacham said to the tzedukim, but v'alikva nema, there's the pasuk that we just brought in the braisa, says, v'nasin es ha-keteris alo eish levnei Hashem. What do you mean? How can you say that you're coming in with a cloud? I understand the way you're learning literal translation of the other pasuk. It sounds like that the cloud has to be there before you're coming in. But it says clearly that one puts the keteris on the fire in front of Hashem. Not outside, but rather in front of the Aron in the Kachi Kachim. Now, but then you can ask me, what's the understanding of your pasuk that you're bringing? That because with a cloud, only then Hashem is saying, will I be seen over the keteris, over the kapayis, which means to say that you actually have to have a cloud before you come in. And then the Chacham say no. That's coming to teach us a different halacha, that the Kohen Gadol has to place this type of herb, which is called mala oshen, which causes the smoke when it comes out of the coals, the keteris are burning up, that should go stick straight like a stick. It should go upward, not disperse, only it should go straight up. That's teaching us from Kibi Anon that to create this cloud over the kapayis that has to go straight up, like with the mala oshen, that's what the pasuk is teaching you, but not that you should have the cloud from before you coming in, because you only make that cloud once you're ready lifnei Hashem. Now, the Braisa continues, and for where do we know that actually that we placed the mala oshen in the keteris so that it should do this stick straight thing, which the Gemara later on will ask, what do I mean, we just brought a pasuk, we already said, keep on the relic kapayis is teaching us. So why is the Braisa asking again, what's the source? The Gemara will address that. Shemaka says in the pasuk, v'chisa anon ha-keteris is a kapayis, that the cloud of the keteris, which again is the smoke that comes out when you're burning it on the coals, will cover the kapayis. And that, however, that comes to teach us, ha, that is from the fact that the pasuk there says, v'lo yamas, that if you do this, you will not die. That teaches, however, lo yinosin b'mal oshen, that if one does not place this herb of mal oshen in the keteris, or if he's lacking one of the herbs, one of the ingredients of the keteris, and that we know that you have to have every ingredient, because the pasuk says, ha keteris, the keteris, which means, say, the complete recipe, not missing any of them. So if one is missing mala oshen or missing one of the ingredients, that comes to teach you the chayv misa, that you'll be liable for death, because the pasuk says, if you do it the right way, then v'lo yamas, which comes to infer, but if you don't, then the person will be liable for death. Now the Gemara asks on this braisa, but typically, But now the question is that even if it didn't say v'lo yamos, you should still be chayiv misa when you bring a keteris that's missing one of the samanim, because the kama'il be rakanis, because you're entering into the kachi kachim for unnecessary purpose. Now it says in the pasuk val yaveh b'chal eis, then and the pasuk ends v'lo yamos. It says that a person should not come in at any time. He's not just come in. He's only allowed to come in when he's doing the certain avodas, and then he's not going to die. But if he comes in what's called birukanis, an empty coming in for no purpose, then he dies. Now, even if one would not be chayv misa for missing part of the keteris, let's say that itself is not enough of a liability for death, but fine, you're not being punished for not having the right ingredients. But you're not bringing the keteris. And therefore that means, what are you doing when you're coming in? You're coming in for no purpose. So that alone should be mechayv a person for death from a different chiyuv, for a different isser of coming in for birukanis. Why do we need a special limud that the kohen gadol, if he's lacking in the ingredients, is going to be chayv misa? So I think Gemara gives two answers. I'm Rav Sheshes. Hachamayaskin, the keys that we're talking about, that we needed the liability for the keteris itself, even though it would seem you'd be really chayv misa just for coming in for not being mekayim any mitzvahs, is kikoyin sheshagag bebiya. Actually, he inadvertently, in other words, he didn't know, let's say, there's the isser of coming inside without doing an avoid. He didn't realize that. So therefore, on the biya rikonis, on coming in for no purpose, that it was a shagig, and for a shagig, you're not chayv misa. However, behezid behaktara, He did it intentionally. He knew that one gets death if he brings the keteris that are lacking one of the ingredients, and still he brought it. And therefore, that would be the case when we would have to say you're going to be chayv misa for the isra of bringing the keteris that's deficient, because you're not going to get one for the birukanis because you were shagig. And therefore, yes, of course, if you were mazer on both, he wouldn't need to tell you for grounding the keteris because of birukanis. But some other case, when he was shagig on that, he didn't know that it's going to be a chiv misa for coming in without doing anything. So therefore, you don't get one that's called shagig. But when it's something you do be mazer, which is the case of the akhtara, missing one of the ingredients, that you're going to be chiv misa just for that case. Another teres that Gemara gives is Rav Ashiyama. He says, afilatema hezid bezubezu. He says, no, you could even say he's talking about a regular case where a person realizes what he's doing, and therefore he did it intentionally regarding the isser of birukanis, and he did it intentionally regarding the isser of missing one of the ingredients in the hakteris. However, kagoyin de'ayil shti hakteris. The case is talking about where in this one time that he's coming in, he brought in two portions of keteris. Achas shleim of achas chaser. One had the complete recipe, and one was deficient, and therefore as follows. Abiloi mechayiv, he's not going to be liable for misa for coming in for no purpose to ha'ayil eshlema, because he did have a purpose. He is going to become a mitzvah because one of them has the right recipe. However, akhtara mechayiv this, and we needed the case for the chiyuv misa on the deficient keteris, because there is one, the komakta keteris chasera. One of them is deficient. So though, yes, you'd be mekayim a mitzvah, and hence there's no birukanis, because you're coming in for a purpose, however, just for being makter one without that's deficient, that itself is a chiv misa, not because you're not fulfilling the keteris, you are with the other one. But bringing in one that's deficient, that itself is a liability to be chayv misa, and therefore, that's why we need a chiv misa for the deficient keteris, even though there's already an isser generally of birukanis. Here it's not a birukanis, because it's one that's shlema. Now the Gemara goes back to address the brice that we quoted before. Amamah. So the Brisa had said, and the Brisa asked, so how do we know that you actually put in this herb called mala oshan that makes it go like a stick straight up the pillar of smoke? So the Brisa quoted the pasuk, and that it'll cover it. So the Gemara asks, as we had already alluded to this before, they need a pasuk to support another pasuk? But we already learned it out, as the Brisa had said, that this was what they had responded to the Tzedukim, the pasuk that they brought down of Ki Ba'anan. They said, no, Ba'anan doesn't mean that you have to have a cloud of smoke before you're coming in. It means that when you're inside and you're putting the keteris on top of the coals, it has to create this cloud of smoke that's produced through the Mala Ashen. So therefore, why does the Brisa then ask, oh, and how do we know we put in the Mala Ashen? Oh, from this other pasuk. What do you mean? We already explained that's what the first pasuk is saying. So the Gemara gives many different answers why we need a two psukim to tell you about Mala Ashen. So Amar Yisrael, this is Hochikama. This is what the Brice was saying. Ainly Ela Allah Malashan, I would only know that I could use the leaves of this herb of Malashan, Iker Malashan, however, to use the roots of this herb Malashan Minayin. From how do I know that I could even use the roots for the purpose of the keteris in the function of what Malashan does? Tamala Mevichi says we need another pasuk to say that even the roots couldn't be doing it. Now, in that, the Gemara asks, I'm la baya, but v'ho ipcha, Tanya. But we learned the exact opposite, that you're making it sound like that the leaves are definitely good. We need another pasuk to include the roots. Rav Abayi says, if you look at the Braisa, they make it sound like that the roots are better than the, are more preferable than the leaves. And that's why it takes it in the default position that the one that was used from Malashon was the roots. The time like learned the Braisa. Braisa says clearly, nothing but Iker Malashon. Sounds like that was the preferable way that in the process of bringing the Keteris, that he would put in the roots of Malashon. And therefore, he metamer v'oile kamakal, it would smoke up and go straight up in a pillar like a stick. Ach megila shmei kar, until it went up. The shmei is a term of like the heavens, but it means to the top of the ceiling. Now, kibin shegila shmei kar, once it reached to the top of the ceiling, then mimashmish beyurid biksal. Then it would continue going along the top of the ceiling until it came down on the walls. And as Rashi explains, that's the properties of how smoke works. That when they can't go any more straight up as it in the direction that it's going vertically, so then it continues going along the top of the roof until the whole entire area fills up with smoke. And then when it doesn't have room anymore by the wall, then it continues going down the walls and it comes back down. And that was how the process of the Keteris worked. Until the whole entire house was filled up with smoke. Like it says the Pasuk in Yeshayah, the Beis HaMikdash was filled up with smoke. Now, the main point of this, that the brisa that the Abayi was bringing down was, but however you see, that Ikar Malashon was the one that they used. They actually used the roots, not the leaves. So Elam Abayi, rather Abayi reverses it and he says, Hachakam. And no, to the contrary, what the brisa was saying was, Ainli Ela Ikar Malashon, I would have only known if I had one pasuk. The preferred pasuk of Kibbe Anan, I would know that, yes, you can use the roots of Malashon. Allah Malashon Minayin, how would I know you could even use the leaves of Malashon? Tamalam Mevachisa, that's the pasuk, is another pasuk to say, not only the roots, but even the leaves. So that's why you need two pasukim to teach us this halacha, that the Keteris required this Malashon. Another Teretz the Gemara brings, again, for why the Brais required two pasukim to tell you about Malashon. Rav Sheshar Sama, he says, Einli Ela Oyle Moit Sheba Midbar. I would only know that's necessary to have this ingredient of Malashon in the oil mayid, which was in the desert. That was the Mishkan that they had. Shiloh Beisar Laminain. How do I know that even in the Shiloh, which was the later sanctuary, and then later on the Beis HaMikdash, how do I know that they also needed to have the Malashon? Tamalam Mevachisa, that's why I need another pasuk to tell you that there it also had to be covered. The whole entire kaparas had to be covered with this Malashon because that created the smoke over the entire area. So the Gemara asks on this Pshat of Rav Sheshes, but hi, that is, as we learn the pasuk of Yikra, learned that mevechein yasal oil moed hashechin itim nafka. That we already learned that from a different pasuk that says that to the place where my divine presence will be, you should do the same thing. It says, and this is what you should do for oil moed hashechin itim. Wherever my shechin is, that's what you should do. Therefore, we don't need this other pasuk to teach you that it has to cover the entire area because we actually know from a different pasuk. So ela hachakam, rather he says that this is what the Braisa was saying. I would only know that you have to have Malashon on Yom Kippur, which is what we're talking about in our sugya, the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. From where would you know that this halacha, which in the context, although it's talking about regarding the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, that he needs to have Malashon, how would you know you have to do it every day of the year when you bring the Keteris? That's to say that every day of the year the Keteris required the Malashon to go up in a stick straight fashion. That was the second pshat. Third pshat the Gemara brings, Rav Ashi Amar, he says, Chad l'mitzvah, one pasuk is telling you that there is a positive commandment to do it. The Chad li'akev, another one is telling you that not only is there a mitzvah to do it, but if it doesn't, it's not done, then it actually will withhold the validity of the entire procedure of the Keteris. It requires, and it's even b'di'evit going to require the Malashon. Fourth pshat the Gemara brings, Rav Amar, says, Chad l'oynish, one pasuk is teaching you the punishment if you do not put in the Malashon. And one tells you the warning, and that is when it says in the pasuk Va'al Yavai that you should not come in ki ba'anan, rather only with a cloud. That's a pasuk that's teaching you the Azar. It's the warning, saying this is what you should do. Now, when it says v'chisa anan that it will cover it with a cloud, and then below yamas, and then you won't die. That's the einish that's talking about the punishment that is regarding isurim. There has to be a pasuk of Azar, the warning, and then another pasuk tells you the punishment if you don't do that. Now, Rashi clarifies, although it says al yamas, that he won't die in the pasuk of Al Yavai, which is the same pasuk that we're saying is Azhara, so why do you need another pasuk of Einish? He says that actually is not going on the lacking of the cloud, which is the halacha of Malashon, rather it's going in the halacha of Birukonis. If one comes in without doing any Avaida, that's in the pasuk of Al Yavai, the Al Yamas is going on that component. And therefore we don't know from that pasuk Einish and Azhara, we only know Azhara, and that's why we needed the other pasuk to tell you also Einish. Now, similarly, the Gemara brings a brisa like this last teretz of Rava, that there's two different psukim, one to tell you the punishment of not bringing Malashon, another pasuk bringing the Azhar, the warning that you actually have to do it. Time went in a brisa, Blaza Aymer, Blaza says, that it says in the pasuk, V'chisa v'lo yamos, that it will cover the entire area with the smoke of the guitars, and then they won't die. That's a reference to Einish. That's, in other words, that's the punishment. If one does not bring the Malashon, then that will be he will die. However, if you do it the right way and it will cover the entire area, then you won't die. Now the other pasuk that says ki ba'anan era, that because with the cloud I will be seen, that's azara, that's the warning of what one should do and one should not violate that. And the other pasuk again was the punishment. Now the brisa continues and says yochel yushneim amurim koydim misis b'nei Aaron. You would think that both of these psukim, both the punishment and the warning of it, were said before the death of the children of Aaron, of Nadav and Avihu, and therefore I would have thought to say that it was the sin of not putting in Malashon that caused the sons of Aaron to die when they brought the Eish Zara in front of Hashem. Tamalema, but that's what the pasuk teaches you. Achrei Moishnei ben Aaron, in that pasuk where it talks about, when it's talking about the chiv of Malashon, it says that that was said only after the death of the sons of Aaron. Now, therefore, the brisa continues. Therefore, I would have thought to say that both the Einish and the Asar, both Pesukim were said after the death of the sons of Aaron. Tamalemanet, no. Because there's another pasuk there that says, Kiba on the Nero ala Kapiris, that because with the cloud I will be seen over the Kapiris. Which shortly the Gemara will explain how that shows that one of the Pesukim were said before the death of the sons of Aaron. However, Hakeitz, so how do we understand that? One pasuk makes it sound like that the halacha of Malashon was said after they died, and one sounds like it was said before they died. So that the Brisa explains, Azhara koydim misa. The warning of the halacha of Malashon was said before they died. V'einish achar misa. However, the death, the punishment of what happens, which is death, was only said after the death of the sons of Aaron. It wasn't said before that is what the punishment is before they had died. Now, the Gemara asks, my Talmudah. What is the learning that we're learning? The Gemara said that I would have thought to say they were both after the death of the sons Aaron. Now the Gemara says no, one of them was definitely before they died, because it says ki ba'anan eira ala kaparis, because with the cloud I will be seen over the kaparis. How do you see from that pasuk that the azhara was said before they died? So that Amar Rava explains, because Amakra, the pasuk is saying ki ba'anan eira, that says because with the cloud I will be seen. Now, I will be seen is in the future tense. So obviously when this pasuk was said, means va'adayin le'nira. That means to say Hashem was not yet seen yet. However, if it was taking place after the death of the sons of Aaron, Hashem was already seen that day. As it says, v'yitzu v'yivarch ha'am v'yir kavayit Hashem al kolam. Hashem's glory was already seen on that day when the sons of Aaron died. And therefore must be that yes, the azhara was said before they died. They knew of the azhara of bringing it without the malashon. That's necessary to have the malashon. However, the einish was only said after they had died. Now, so therefore the Gemara says, ve'ela my time at yanish. So what's the reason why the sons of Aaron died? Why were they punished when they brought the Eish Zara, when they brought the Keteres Zavat of Hashem? It couldn't be because they didn't bring the malashon, because even though the azhara was said, but to get punished, you need to have the einish written in the Torah, and that wasn't given yet until after they had passed away. So obviously they can't get punished for not bringing the malashon. So what was the problem with their keteres? What was it that caused them to die when they had passed away? So that the Gemara answers, Kedetanya, like within the Brisa, Rabbi Elazar says, Loi mesu b'nei Aaron, the sons of Aaron did not die because of the keteres per se of the Eish Zara, and because of the malashon. El ashahir halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabbein, for a different reason altogether, because they had paskin halacha, they had taught a law in Torah in front of their Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's a chiyuv of misa if someone's mar halacha b'fnei Rabbein, and that's where they died. Now my darsh, what was it that they expounded? What halacha did they say in place of Moshe Rabbeinu when they should have asked him permission? As it says the pasuk in Meyikra, it says v'nosnu b'nei Aaron hakoyin eish al mizbech, that the sons of Aaron HaKohen should place a fire on the Mizbech, which teaches us that Ava Pisha Ishu Yeretzim in the Shemaim, even though fire already comes down from heaven, mitzvah lehevim the Hedyid, it's a mitzvah for the Hedyid, for the people, to bring their own fire to the Mizbech. Now, although that they paskin correctly, that's a correct interpretation of the pasuk, however they got punished because they didn't take permission from Moshe Rabbeinu, one's not allowed to paskin in front of his Rebbe unless he asked permission beforehand, and that's why they died, but not because of the Keteres per se, although that was when they got punished, when they brought the Eish Zara. It wasn't because they didn't put in Malashon, because again, although the halacha was said, but the punishment wasn't said, and therefore must be because of Hayra halacha b'fnei Rav, because they had pasken halacha in front of their Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the Gemara continues explaining our mission with the previous daf. It said that Yatza, that when the Kohen Gadol would leave the Kodesh Kodeshim after he had brought the Keteris with the shovel full of coals and they put it on and was smoking up, so Uvaloi Derech Knesasa, he would leave exactly the same way that he had come in. Now, which what that means is that he would actually, when he would come in, so he came on the northern part and then he would walk in and then he would turn towards the south and he would walk towards the middle of the Kodesh Kodeshim, and then he would do that avodah. When he would leave, he would still be facing south, the same way he was facing when he was walking in. He would face that same way. He would be walking back exactly how he walked in, facing toward the area of the Kodesh Kodeshim. He would be walking like backwards. So he asks, "Manam mili, from where do we know this halacha that's necessary that he can't just turn around and walk back and face the northern part when he's walking back?" So Amar Shmuel ben Nachmeni Amar Biyunisim says, "Amar Kod, there's a pasuk in Dibur Yom Beis that says as follows." It says, "V'yavei Shleima l'bama asher begiven Yerushalayim." That Shleima HaMelech came to the Bama, which was the Mizbeach in those days, that was in Given Yerushalayim. Now, the problem is that Given Yerushalayim are two different places. Either it should have written that when he came to Given from Yerushalayim, or from the Bama that was in Given to Yerushalayim. And that is because in Given, that was where there was the Kedusha with the Mizbeach, the Moshe Rabbeinu, and made that's where it was. And he would go there to be Makar of Karbanos over there. But Bechima Inyan Given Etzel Yerushalayim. What is Given after Yerushalayim? How are we calling it the same place when they're two different places? So Ella Makish Yitzi Asim Given Yerushalayim. Rather, what we're doing is we're comparing his leaving from Given to Yerushalayim, Lebi Yasim Yerushalayim Le Given, to his coming from Yerushalayim to Given. And that's what the pasuk is sounds like, where it says VaYavei Shleima LeBava, that Shleima Melch came to the Bava that was in Given, the way he would come. That's the same way to Yerushalayim when he was coming from Given. That was the same way he would have the same way. That's what the pasuk ends up with Yerushalayim. Just like he came to Given, so to he would go Yerushalayim the same way. Now, what does that mean? Of course, he's going to the same route, but no, ma biyasim Yerushalayim leGiven. Just like when he would come from Yerushalayim to Given, pan of klapi bama kederech biyasim. You walk with your face facing forward, that his face would be facing towards the bama. Afitziyasim leGiven Yerushalayim. So that was the same thing when he would leave from Given to Yerushalayim. His face would still be facing, be walking backwards, facing that way, just like he would go when he was coming in. And the Gemara continues similarly regarding other things, to have the same covet. And same thing as when the Kohanim do the Avodah, when the Levim go on the platform to do their singing, and the Jewish people when they're standing there, which there was a separate maimid, a placement of the Jewish people that stood there in the courtyard that were representing the entire Jewish people for the carbon tamid, because it says in the pasuk tishmu lahakivli, they should be safeguarding it to bring it to me as a carbon, that they should stand there and they should safeguard over the karbanos. They're like the bailim of the karbanos, which the carbon tamid is for all entire Jewish people. They're the representatives to safeguard it. Which regarding all these three, the Kohanim, Levim and the Yisraelim, Kishay Niftar, when they would leave from their post of doing the Avodah or doing the Shira or doing the Maimed, Lohayim Achzirin Penein V'Holchem, they wouldn't just turn around and walk back where they came from. El Mitzadidin Penein V'Holchem, rather they would turn their head a little bit and go to see where they're going, but remember they would still be facing towards the area of the Kedusha where they were till now. V'chin Tamal Neftim Rabbi, same thing as a student that's leaving from his Rebbe, from his teacher. He shouldn't just turn his face around and walk with his back towards his Rebbe. Rather, he turns his face a little bit and he sees where he's going, but he's still facing the Rebbe. Like Rebbe Elazar said, when I would take leave of Rebbe Yechanan. So, when Rebbe Yechanan wanted to take leave, Rebbe Elazar would just bow down in his place. He would stay where he was. Until Rebbe Elazar couldn't see Rebbe Yochanan anymore. When Rebbe Elazar himself wanted to take leave of his Rebbe, he would walk backwards until Rebbe Yochanan couldn't see him anymore, and then he would turn his face around and walk away. Similarly, the Gemara brings that Rava, when Rava would take leave from Rebbe Yosef, he would walk backwards until he bruised his feet so much, and that the thresholds of Rabbi Yosef's house was filled and sullied with blood from Rava, because he would bang his feet, he couldn't see where he was going. And the Gemara continues, Amad Beis, that Amalei Rabbi Yosef, they told Rabbi Yosef, who was blind, and he didn't recognize, he didn't know what Rava was doing. They told him, "Nahachi av Rava, you should just know what Rava is doing when he takes leave of you." Amalei, so he said to him, "Yehi Rava, it should be the will of Hashem, the Tarm Reshef, that your head should be lifted up, meaning that you should be the Rosh Yeshiva, a Kula Kracha from the entire city, because of your great display of Kavod HaTorah, that the way you took leave of me, that should be a merit for you to become the Rosh Yeshiva of the entire city." Similarly, Amar Lachsandri, Amar B'Yushum and Levi, another related halacha. Hamispal, someone that's davening, Tzarech Shefsiya Sholosh Psis Lachar, he has to take 3 steps back after he finishes Shemayna Esri, V'ach Kachit Shalom, and then he gives Shalom, so to speak, a way of departing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we say that Pasuk of Isa Shalom B'mraimov, who Yasa Shalom Aleinu, Makal Yisrael B'mraimov, you first take 3 steps back, you walk facing where you were before you don't turn around, and then you say Shalom. Amalei Rav Mardechai, Rav Mardechai says, but once you took 3 steps back, that's where you have to stay standing. In other words, where you took the steps back, don't go right away back. You have to first wait there a little bit. As he says, it can be compared to a student that's taking leave of his rabbi, of his teacher. Because if when you take the 3 steps back, you come right away back to where you are, then you're like a dog that after vomiting goes back, and not only did he eat disgusting things in the first time, now he vomited, he goes to back and eat his vomit. So that's the same thing about this person. He's taking leave, he's showing the cover. Don't come right back because you're trying to show this display of honor of taking leave. So therefore you have to wait there a little bit, and only then, once that has been done, that process is over, then you can come back to your place. Tanya Hoch is similar in the Braisa, that Hamispal Tzarech Shefsiya Sholosh Psis Lachar, some that daven, has to take 3 steps back after he's done. Va'ach Kachit and Shalom, and then he gives Shalom. Ve'im Lo Yosekein, and if he didn't do this, and that is, then it seems like that he's not taking permission from his Rebbe to take leave, then Rolich Lo Yisbal, then it's better that he shouldn't daven, because that display of not taking 3 steps back, as if you don't need permission, just walking away, that itself just undid everything that one does when there's davening, and therefore it's better that you not daven if you're not going to take the 3 steps back afterwards to show that display of kavod when you're taking leave from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. U'mishum Shemaya Amru, from the name of Shemaya they said, Shenaisen Shalom Liyamin, so when you take the 3 steps back, which is a necessary display of kavod, then you give Shalom to the right, V'achach L'smol, and then to the left. Shenem, like it says a pasuk in Devarim, which shows that the right is the more chashuv one. Mimino yesh dos lame, that from his right, Hashem gave a fiery law. And therefore you see the right is the better one, therefore that's the one that you give Shalom first to. Vayman, as it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, yipol mitzitcha elef, that 1,000 shall fall from your side, urevava mimenacha, and 10,000 from your right side. Again, it shows that the right side could contain 10,000 mazikin, 10,000 of the harmful spirits. So again, you see that the right side is stronger. So the Gemara's Maivo Eimer, why do we have to bring another pasuk? We already saw that from Mimini Eishdos Lomai, Hashem gave the Torah from his right hand. You see that's the Mochashaba one. That the Gemara says no, because V'chitema Urcha de Milsehi L'meisav B'imin, because maybe you would say that that's just the derech, it's just normative to go ahead and give something with the right hand, because the right hand is the one that a person is more predominant hand, and therefore if you're giving the Luchas, Kibyachal, what Hashem is going to give it with his right hand, not because it's the more chashab one, it's just because the more used one. Toshima, that's why he brought another pasuk of Yipo Mitzitcha Elof over Vav Meimenecha, where it actually shows the greatness of it, of the right versus the left, that instead of 1,000, the right one has 10,000. And that's why when one takes 3 steps back and he says, Isa Shalom B'mraim, if Shalom should be to the right, and then he should say and turn towards the left. Now, the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this halacha. That Rava Chazila Abaya, so Rava saw Abaya, the Yav Shlomo Liyamina, that he said Oisa Shalom B'mraimav, he went towards his right side, Bereisha, that's what he did first. And then he did to his left side, because of the halacha that we said that you give Shalom to the right, that's the Mochashav one. So Amalei, so Rava said to Abaya, Mi Savit Limin Didach, did you think when you say Oisa Shalom B'mraimav, you go to your right, because the right is Mochashav? L'smol Didach Kamina, I was saying it for your left, to have a Yemina Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, when someone's davening, he's supposed to see himself as if he's facing towards the Shekhinah, facing him. Like it says, Shavisa Hashem L'negdi Samar. Now, when you're facing someone, in this case, Kibiyachal, when you're facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're facing, your right is Hashem's left, and then your left is Hashem's right. So when we say take 3 steps back and do Shalom to the right, we mean Hashem's right, which is the person's left, and then the right, and then the center. Amar Chiyah Bered Rav Huna, says, I noticed by Abaya and Rava, When they take these 3 steps back, they take it with one bow. They're bowing down and they take the 3 steps back. And then they say, Now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah that said that, so he said that when he walked out, he would walk out the same way that he came in, facing that entire area, walking like in this backward type of way. And then when he came out into the Heichel, then he would daven a short tefillah in the Beis Achitzin, in the Heichel. So the Gemara asks, my matzli, what was this tefillah, the Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippurim, that this once a year after doing the Keteris, what did he daven? So Rava bar Rav Ada and Raven bar Rav Ada, Tavai Mishmi de Rav Ami, they both said over the name of Rav as follows. Yihi Ratzai Mufanecha Hashem Alekein, it should be you will, Hashem our God. Shtei Shana Zug Gishuma Ushchuna, that this year should be a rainy and a hot year. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, Shchuna Mal Yusi is a hot year, a maila that we're davening for, it's something praiseworthy. Eleima rather say that what he said was, Im Shchuna Te Gishuma, if it's hot, let it be rainy. Rav Acha Barid Rav Mesayim Ba Mishmeid Rav Yehuda, he concluded the tefillah that it was as follows. Loyadi Ovid Shultan, that the ruler over the Jewish people should not be removed from the Beis Yehuda, should be from the house of Yehuda, who that's where the kings are from. The Jewish people should not have to have sustenance from each other, rather from others. And that the tefillah of the wayfarer, of the one that's going on the roads, should not come in front of you, Hashem. That is because the one that's on the road is davening that it shouldn't rain because it makes the traveling inconvenient, but that obviously will be bad for the fields. So don't let his tefillah come in the way and interrupt the geshem that we so badly need. So actually the Gemara illustrates this that with Reb Chanina ben Daisa, to have a ka'azel b'urcha, he was once going on the road, shadim mitra leo, so it was raining on him. So Amma say, he said, Rebbein Shalom, the master of the world, kol ha'ilum kula b'nachas b'chanina b'tzar. The entire world is comfortable right now. They're happy, their fields are being rained on, they're home, but Chanina is in pain because here I am, I'm walking and it's raining on me. Sapasak mitra, so the rain stopped. Ki'asel ha'beisi Amma, but now when he came home, he said, Rebbein Shalom, the master of the world, the entire world is in pain, and only Chanina should be comfortable because Chanina actually didn't have any fields to need the rain to plant his fields. So therefore, he was benachas because he's home and he doesn't have fields that have to be planted. However, everyone else is in pain because their fields are not being planted. So the rain came. So the Gemara comments in this Amr of Yisuf. Yisuf said, what did the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol of Nai v'lefnim and Yom Kippurim in the Heichel when he's doing the tefillah. What did it help for Chanina ben Daisa when he could daven and he keeps on changing? And he says, look, I want the rain, I don't want the rain. And that and the Kohen Gadol's tefillah didn't even help. So the Kohen Gadol's tefillah of Reb Chanina ben Daisa when he was going on the road and when he came home. So Tamar, in the Braisa regarding this halacha that the Kohen Gadol would say a short tefillah in the Heichel, it once happened with a certain Kohen Gadol that he was saying a very long tefillah. So his brothers the Kohen decided to go after him. Who knows what happened? Maybe because there were Kohen Gadol that would die because they weren't proper. So they started going in and he was coming out. So they said to him, why do you take such a long time with your tefillah? So Amalem, he said to them, is it so bad in front of you that I was davening for you? Yom Kippur, there's a Kohen Gadol once a year in the holiest place. And that the Beis HaMikdash shouldn't be destroyed. Amalem, however, the Kohanim told the Kohen Gadol, don't get used to doing this, of saying such a long tefillah. Because we learned this as follows, the Kohen Gadol would not say a lengthy tefillah, so not to frighten the Jewish people. That's why he said it's really good. They wanted to make sure that everything went right. So it's better, I know you were davening for the Jewish people, but better say it's really good as not to frighten the Jewish people. So Gemara continues with the next mission. Again, continuing on this halacha of the Keteris of the Kohen Gadol that was brought lefnai v'lefnim by the area of the Aron Kodesh. So our Mishnah says that Mishanitil Aron, but when from the time of when the Aron, the Ark, was taken away from the Kodesh Kodeshim, so therefore, it wasn't done anymore in front of the Aron, which was between the Badim, between the two poles of the Aron HaKodesh. Rather, Evan Haisish Shami Mason Neviim Rishayim. There was a stone there from the times of the first prophets, which is a reference to David HaMelech and to Shmuel, as the Gemara Masechta Seita says. Ushti Haisin Nikris, it was called the Evan Shasiyah, the stone of the foundational stone. And the Gemara will explain what this is. Gevayim in the Oretz Sholesh Etzpois. It had a height from the ground of 3 finger breadths. Valeha Yonaisin, and that's where, in the times of the second base of Midrash, when there was no more Aron, they actually put it on top of this Evan Shasia, not between the poles of the Aron, because there was no Aron Kaidish. So the Mishnah continues, after this Avodah, so he said that the Kohen Gadol already left, he said his Tefillah. Now what does he do after he did the Ketores inside Lefnei V'Lefnim? So Notles Adam, Mimisha Hayim Marasboy. So now, as we had mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that he had slaughtered Hidpar, and he received the blood, he gave it to someone else, Al-Ravid Ravid, to go ahead and mix it. And in the interim, he went to get the shovel full of coals, he got the Keteres, he came inside, he put the Keteres on the coals, he left the way he came in, he was in the Heichel, he said a short fila, and here he goes. Now he goes back to the one that was mixing his blood. Nichnas l'makab shenichnas. Now he goes back into the place where he had gone in before. He goes back into the Kachay Kachay, into the holiest of holies. V'amad bin makab shenichnas, he stands in the place where he had stood before when he did the Keteres, which was bein abadim, between the poles of the Aron. Now he sprays from this blood of his par, which is for him, his family, the Kahanim, and he throws one high up and one low down. Now, as the Mishnah explains, but it's not that he intended to spray loy lamala, not above, meaning to have one of the sprays of the blood should reach the top corner of the kapiris, which covers which was the cover of the Aron. Loy lamata, neither was it that he was trying to have it the 7 that was lamata, that was below, to go below the thickness, the bottom half of the thickness of the kapiris, that it should touch it, because actually it didn't even touch the kapiris, it didn't touch the cover of the Aron. El Kamatzlev, what it means, achas lamala, b'shev lamata, by the kapiris, by the covering of the Aron Kodesh, doesn't mean the top part of it and then 7 on the bottom part of it. It just means that he did it like a whip, and that is, it was in one row. These were the 8 that were in the row. However, the one that went above, the projection of it was towards the upward, and the 7 below was going downward, but really it was all in, the all 8 were in a line, again, in front of the kapar, in front of the kapars. And this is how he counted. The Gemara explained the reason for why he had to count, but this was his count. So he took the one which was going achas lamal, was going upward. So he said achas 1. Now the rest of the 7 would go after that in succession on the floor. So he would count 7 lamata, which was throwing it downward in that type of a throw. Then it was be achas v'achas. So he had 1, which was always counted, the one that he had done lamala, and then 1 and 1. Achas v'shtayim, 1 and 2. Achas v'shalosh, 1 and 3. Achas v'arba, 1 and 4. Achas v'chamish, 1 and 5. Achas v'shesh, 1 and 6. Achas v'sheva, 1 and 7. So he had counted the 1 that he did lamala, and then he counted together with that the 7 that he did lamata. Yatza v'hinichu alkein hazav shabehecha. Then he left the kachay kachim, which he was doing this spraying in front of the kapiris. And then he went out and he put it on the golden stand in the Heichel, which was a special stand where to put the blood from his par. Then they brought him the Sayer, which there were 2 Se'irim, as we said, that he did the lottery in the Azara in the northeastern part, which was the Sar Lashem and the Sar Lazazel. Lazazel was taken to the cliff to be thrown off. The Sayer was the He-Goat that was the Kapara, the equivalent of what the par was for the Kohen Gadol and his family, and the Kohanim was what the Sar, the He-Goat, was for the Jewish people, which was called the Sar Lashem. So they brought him that He-Goat. Shachta, he slaughtered it. The kibul b'mizrach esdama, he received the blood in the container. Nichnis l'makam shenichnis. So again, now he came back into the place where he had gone in before, to the kachay kachim. V'amid b'makam shaman, and he stood in the place where he stood before, bein habadim. V'hizimim, and now he sprayed from this blood, from the sa'ir. Again, the same process, the same procedure. Achis l'mala, b'shev l'mato, 1 going upward, and 7 going downward. V'kacha yimani, that's how he counted. Achas, 1. Achas v'achas, 1 and 1, achas v'shtayim, 1 and 2, v'chulu, etc. The whole thing until achas v'sheva. Yatza, now he went out again from the kachay kachim. V'nichu al kein hazav hasheni shebeichel. Then he put it onto the second golden stand that was in the heichel. One was for the par and one was for the sar. However, Rabbi Yehuda actually argues and he says, l'hoyu sham ele kein echa bavad, there was only one stand over there in the heichel. And therefore, notol dam hapar, he would first take the blood of the par which he had put down before, which he, in the interim, he went to go ahead and do the whole avodah with the sar. So he would first take that off, and then, as Rashi explains, this is the conclusion of what Rabbi Huda's statement was, that there was, since there was only one stand, he would first have to take the one of the par, and then he could put down the blood of the sar that he was finished with now. Now that he did the procedure of this of the achas lamala, shev lamata, for both the par and then the sar, now again he goes with a procedure of par then sar, but now he's out of the kachay kachay, now he's in the heichel. And therefore he goes, Now he would spray toward the curtain that separated, which was opposite the Aron, from the outside of it, as the Pasuk says in Vayikra Tezayin, the same thing that he does Lefnayv Lefnim in the Kutcha Kutchim, he should do for the Oil Maid. And therefore he would spray towards the curtain being in the Heichel from the outer part. And he would do again, Achas Lamal B'Shav Lamata, he would do one upward and seven downward. Again, but Bechulin, as we said before, not that he intended that one should go to the top of the curtain, one should go to the bottom of the curtain. Rather, it was in that position, in the way he would have his hand, if it was going upward or downward. And this is how we counted, Bechul, etc., would be Achas Lamala and Sheva Lamata. Now, Natal Dam HaSar, he would take the blood of the Sar, V'nich Dam HaPar, and then he would put down the Dam HaPar, where he did already now, even in the Heichel, and he would take the Dam HaSar. And he would do the same thing. He would spray from the blood of the sire towards the curtain that separated the heichel and the kutcha kutchim from the outer part of it, meaning being in the heichel part. One going upward and seven going downward, etc. Now, after that, he did again the par and the sire inside the kutcha kutchim. Then the par and the sire in the heichel. Now, he would mix the blood of the par, which was his own, with the blood of the Tsar, which was from the Jewish people. As the Pasuk says, regarding the Matanis of the Mizbeach, it says, V'lokach midam ha-par u-midam ha-sar. He should take from the blood of the par, and the dam ha-sar means to say that he should take from both of them together. And v'nos n'samoli berikin, then, after he mixed by putting in the dam of the par into the dam ha-sar, then he put the full cup into the empty one, as the Gemara will explain, that he would mix back and forth so that they should be mixed very well. He would take the full cup and pour it into the empty cup, and thereby it would get mixed very well. And that was for the next procedure, that he would take from both bloods together. Now the Gemara explains that from the first term that our Mishnah starts off by saying that there was a time in the Beis HaMikdash when the Aron wasn't there anymore, in the second Beis HaMikdash predominantly, when the Aron wasn't there, so then they had the Evan Shasiyah. So the Gemara makes a diak. Mishenignus Lekutani, our Mishnah doesn't say from when it was hidden away, Ela Mishenita from when it was taken away. So that the Gemara says, Tinan Kamanda Amar Aron Gal Blabavel. So our Mishnah is like the opinion that says that the Ark actually went into exile into Babel. It was taken away. It wasn't concealed. So Tanakh learned the Brisa. Blaza says Aron Gal Blabavel. The Ark went down to exile to Babel. Shneim, like it says, the pasuk in Divrei Yamim Beis, it says Ulishuvas Hashana, at the turn of the year, Shalach HaMelech Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar sent Vayibiyahu, and he brought Yehoyachin Bavela down to Galus Bavel Im Kli Chemdas Beis Hashem, with the desired vessels of the house of Hashem. That's a reference to the Aron, that not only did Yehoyachin go down to Galus Bavel, but the Aron HaKadosh went down to Galus Bavel with it also. And that's why our Mishnah says Mishenitel, not Mishenignus, because it was taken down into exile. Shimon Yechai Aymer, he says Aron Gal LaBavel. He agrees with that opinion that the Aron went down to Galus to Bavel. But he brings a different pasuk. The pasuk says, Lo yivaser davar amar Hashem. Hashem says that nothing should be left over. Now the deek is from the word davar. What does davar mean? That means, Elu aseres hadibrei shabai. That's a reference to the 10 commandments, dibrois, the 10 sayings. That's the word davar, that even the dibrois should not be left over. Everything is going to Galus Bavel, including the Aron, which had that aseres hadibrois inside of it. However, Behuda says, he argues. He says, Aron bim kaimin nignas. The ark was concealed in its place. It's still there in the kutcha kutchim. It was hidden in the area over there. Shneim, like it says, the pasuk melachim aleph. Vayirau roshi habadim min hakodesh al pnei advir. That it was visible. The sticks of the Aron were sticking out by the curtain that was facing the heichel. On that curtain, you were able to see it. But v'leiro achutza, however, it wasn't sticking outward. It was from within the curtain, but it was visible. V'yusham adayim hazeh. And they're still there until today. That Aron with the badim, it's all still there. It's just nignas, it's hidden, and people can't see it. However, it didn't go into Galus Bavel. However, our Mishnah clearly that says Mishenitel Aron is going like the pin that says that it went down to Galus Bavel. And that's why it says Mishenitel and not Mishenignas.